to realize that we are on two planes. We're on the plane of this earth, where we walk in this earth, where we live and we breathe and work and function. And then the plane that inside of you is the God side of you. Inside of you is the born again spirit man, the real you, not this body, not this earth suit we wear, but the real you, the one that's going to live in eternity, the one that's going to get a new body someday, the one that yearns, like the Bible says, for like the trees grown to be clothed with righteousness. So we yearn and clothed to be clothed with righteousness, because the part of you on the inside of you that wants to go to heaven, it's real. But we get so caught up with the things in this world, because we live in this world and we function in this world, and things happen in this world, and there's disappointments in this world, and there's concerns in this world, and there's cares of this world. And that's why Paul said, don't let the deceitfulness and the cares of this world come into your life and destroy you. And the only way to keep that from happening is it's controlled in the switch right here in your head. Because what you set your mind on is what you're going to dwell on. And what you dwell on is the plane you're going to live on. Now, there has to be a function between the two, right? I mean, we do have to operate. We still have to function in life. But the brain is what your mind, and what you set your mind on is what's going to determine whether you're receiving from heaven or just dealing with the world situations in your life, which gets to your soul, which gets to your emotions, and destroys everything if you set it on the worries and the troubles and the problems of the world, or your life, or whatever, the cares of this world. It says the cares of this world enter and they choke out the word, right? But they only can choke out the word if that's what you're dwelling on. You can sit there all day long and say, God, why did this happen? What's going on? What about, why is this happening? Why is this? Why is this? Why is this? Why is this? And as long as you dwell on looking at the problem in that situation, you're going to get choked. So he says, if you then were raised up with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting. Verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So he's just saying that. He says you can't, there's no way. You're going to have to change your thinking. There's no other way around it. And the way you change your thinking is that you have to set your mind on things above. Now, let's do a little test here. All right? Let's do a little test. Just close your eyes for a minute. And don't think about anything. Okay, now look at me. How many of y'all thought about something? Thank you, Ann, for being honest back there. You're not crazy for, you know, like I'll just be real blunt and honest, you know, because that's the way I am. You know, during this worship service, I've thought about the throne. I've thought about the sweet presence of Jesus that was here. Also thought about how many windows are in the house that I'm building. And then I shut that one out and said, shut up, I ain't thinking about that tonight. And then I thought about the Holy Ghost and Him moving and what God was wanting to do. And then I thought about, God, I hope it doesn't rain because I didn't dig that ditch out. Are you with me? There's a lot of thoughts went through my head. I'm worshiping the Lord, but there's something that runs through my thinking. Are y'all with me? Okay. So the good news is I'm not totally consumed because like 7/8 of my thoughts tonight were worshiping the God and there was just 1/8 flying through, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like I was totally consumed. But you know how when you get consumed with the problem and then no matter what you're doing, that's all you can think about, and then the battles of your mind are going and raging and you're debating it and you're this and that and the other and that's all you're really thinking about and your minds are just going like that? That's what you have to defeat. And the only way to defeat that is you have to change your thinking. You have to stop it. You have to tell your brain, shut up. I'm not thinking about that right now. I'm thinking about heaven. I'm thinking about what did the garden look like? I mean, you have to pick something that's at least godly to get your thoughts changed, to get the tide of the stream that's going pointed in the right direction. You at least have to stop and say, was there flowers in the garden? Lord, was there flowers in the garden? I wonder if there's flowers in the garden. If there was flowers in the garden, but there were pretty flowers in the garden. At least you're getting something going here. Y'all with me? Not like, I don't know why they're here, from the other side. You have to turn that tide. You say, well, you're just talking about the power of positive thinking. No, I'm not, because it's a difference. When they taught the power of positive thinking, the problem with the whole thing was I don't care about, you can think all the positive thoughts you want to, but if they're not positive thoughts based on God's word and what God's word says, because it's the word of God, according to Hebrews, it's alive and quicker than any powerful than any two-edged sword that can pierce to the dividing asunder of your heart and your spirit and set you free. It's the word of God that has power. You think positive like, well, everything's going to be okay. That doesn't get you nowhere because it's not going to be okay. Are y'all with me? It's only going to be okay if you get your mind thinking right, get your prayer thinking right, and get your word thinking right, get everything lined up and get everything to get that tide turned. And you're not crazy for having those thoughts. Listen to me, you're not weak in faith just because you worry. You know what I'm saying? All I'm telling you is that you're going to live that away until you change it. And the only way to change it is to discipline your mind to shut up. You say, well, I've tried for years and I just can't do it. Yeah, you can. You can. You got to start small and then work it up. Because you're going to have worries, anxieties. Those are going to be there. I don't care what. I don't care who you are. Nobody is impregnable. Right? Helps turn the TV off. Yes, it does. Helps not to listen to the radio and all the bad news going on nowadays. Right? Helps to just go walk down by the river and throw rocks. Right? Something. Go shoot something. I mean, you know, goodness. Just got to find whatever, you know. You have to do that. Because if you're just consumed with the other, then you're always going to be overwhelmed. Now, let's look at one more scripture. Go to 2 Corinthians. I believe it's chapter 2. Yes, chapter 2, verse 12. Listen to what Paul said here. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened to me by the Lord. Okay? So, something's happening. He's got an open door to preach. I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed to Macedonia. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. God opened a door for Paul to preach the gospel in that place, but he was so troubled in his spirit he couldn't stay there. He had to leave to go find where Titus was. So, something was going on, right? Verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph in Christ, who through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now, I don't know how to really explain this or how to really say it, but I want you to understand, I want you to know that no matter what's taking place in life, as a Christian, if you keep your faith, we always win. It may seem like a defeat on earth, but it's a victory in heaven. Are y'all with me? If you take the attitude that no matter what, we're always going to triumph in Christ. No matter what, we're going to triumph. Even if, as much as I don't even like to say this, even if you're standing through the face of adversity and it doesn't go your way, but you stood in faith, the reward was in heaven. Y'all with me? I got this picture the other day. I was thinking about this and, you know, just dreaming, trying to get my mind set on things above, not on things beneath. And I was thinking about, you know, I wonder if when we get to heaven, now this is just a Robert Richards thought, okay? And Jesus is taking you into your mansion. And you go around there and there's something in the mansion. You say, oh, Lord, that's really pretty. Or, look at that. That is amazing. And he said, yeah, that's what you got when you stood for that and were believing in me and you kept your faith. You know, I mean, I'm trying to imagine what is the thing, right? I'm trying to put this into some sort of a tangible thing that my mind can grab hold of, you know. Because if you said to me, oh, yes, when you believe, Bruce, when you stood in faith, you got a puff of the Spirit in heaven. Well, what are you talking about? I don't know what that is. I got to put it in something I can get hold of, right? If he says he has a mansion in heaven, right? Well, you know, mansions are pretty big. I just read an article of a house that sold in Miami to a Russian millionaire for $47 million, most expensive house that's been sold in the United States. Or maybe it was the most expensive one sold in Miami. $47 million. And I was thinking in my mind, when I read that about $47 million, I got to thinking, what's in a house that costs $47 million? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to think, I wonder what the architecture is like, because $47 million is a lot of money. It was 20,000 square feet was all it was. I mean, 20,000 square feet is big, but I'm just saying 20,000 square feet, you know, I mean, for $47 million, what got put in it? I mean, did they pour gold on the floor or what? I mean, $47 million is a lot of cash. And I was thinking about that. Somebody, I don't know who, somebody dreamed $47 million worth of crazy. And I got to thinking to myself, you know, I'm kind of limited. If somebody came to me today and they said, okay, Robert, we want to build the most elaborate, I want you to build the most elaborate house you've ever in your life built. I want it to be the most grandeur thing. I don't think I could come up with, in my head, with the knowledge that I have of a $47 million house. You know, with me? But if I went and saw the $47 million house and I walked around in it, and I saw what they'd spent on it and how it was done, and I said, I didn't even know they did that. Are y'all with me? Then when I got through walking out of that $47 million house, you know what, Bruce? If somebody came to me and said, I want you to build me a most expensive house, you say, I said, I saw a big one. You see, I would grow. That's what it is in our faith. It's the same way. You dream and you say, oh, I can't see how I can do it. But then when you see it in God, you see it in Christ, all of a sudden it changes you and you diffuse the fragrance of Christ in everywhere that you go. You've seen him move. You say, oh man, we don't understand. To the person who's never seen it, you go to them and say, oh my God, look how great God is. Because you're seeing the $47 million God, not the, you know, $100,000 God. Right? And so when you do that, it causes that to take place. You diffuse Christ in every place you go because you're saying, wow. So the only way for you to really diffuse that and to create that is you have to go to the next level. You have to go to the next place. You've got to have a testimony to tell somebody, wow, I'm telling you what, I was in such a bind. God got me out. I was down to my last straw faith. Y'all remember that? I may be really telling my age, but some of y'all are older than I am in here. Remember, what was the game called where there was a camel and it had these bags on it, and you took the little, you had to drop straws in the camel's back and break the camel's back? Anybody ever know this little game? Must have been before y'all's time. It was a camel. It was a kid's game, and it was a camel. And there was a bag on each side, a little plastic bag on each side, hard plastic, and you had these straws. And you started dropping them in the camel's back. And as you begin to put them in, that camel got heavy. The camel began to bend in the center. And then finally, you know, whoever put the last straw in it, the camel's back would break. And then that, we won. The person that didn't break the camel's back won, right? And you may be there saying, you know what? I had every straw put on my back, and I thought my back was going to break. But you know what? At the last moment, God came in there. And then you just diffused the fragrance of Christ everywhere. So, this Thanksgiving, and you're eating turkey and whatever you're eating or being around family, or some of you may just be really good just eating salad. I'll eat some salad. Very little. Yeah. Fruit salad. Lots of whipped cream and cherries. You know, we've got to be thankful for God for where we've been and where we are, but where we're going. Amen? Because I'm not staying where I'm at. I'm going on. I want to go to higher heights, bigger things. More of God. Amen? Diffusing the fragrance of Christ everywhere. Everywhere we go. Amen? Amen. Well, I walked in the house. I started to preach tonight. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So I walked in the house. My wife had been baking pies, and I was like, yeah. I didn't touch them, didn't even poke them. But I will tomorrow. Amen? So praise God. Well, Glory, do we need to take up an offering tonight? Or, whoa. And then there was light.